Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Once again to Dare to Win. Our topic this evening, 400 years of trauma, epigenetics, and our current health challenge. Stay with us for this exciting subject.
Will you give up your rhythm?
Once again, welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. This is the place where we have sober conversations around our need to build a global economic cooperative to serve the needs of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. I will be your host this evening. I am Sister Nanana, and as always, I am very pleased and excited to be here once again with another Dare to Win program. And yes, we truly are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. For those who would care to join us, please call in and join the conversation by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or care to ask a question. If you want to join us via your computer, please go to our website, www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And then click on the Ulu Radio tab, and then you'll see the place to click on Listen Live. And you will be with us at that point and can take part in the program as well. So this is an exciting and a very interesting and definitely necessary and appropriate subject for us to discuss this evening, and we are very, very pleased to have as our guest Dr. Rhonda Coleman. She is a doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine. And so we're very pleased to have Dr. Coleman with us to talk about 400 years of trauma, epigenetics, and our current health challenge. And I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that we are currently exposed to and involved in a real health challenge. So, yeah. And before I even open the floor for Dr. Coleman, I would like to share with you a little bit of her credentials and her background. Dr. Coleman is a nationally certified herbalist. She is also a nationally certified oriental medicine practitioner, certified massage therapist. She's licensed and certified as an acupuncturist. She is a graduated Capoeira Arts Master, and she is a U.S. Air Force veteran. So we have someone this evening who can certainly speak to the subject. Dr. Coleman, would you care to greet the audience?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm excited to join you in this conversation. I look forward to the development of it and interacting with the audience with any questions they may have.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we're excited to have you because it's very timely, especially with what we're dealing with now concerning the whole situation with COVID-19 and dealing with the coronavirus for sure. So I've shared a little bit in terms of introduction, Dr. Coleman, as far as your skill set and your certifications. Could you please share with us more in terms of how you are qualified? What qualifies you to be able to speak with us on particularly that subject of epigenetics, but overall around our health challenge? So tell us a little bit more about who you are and your background.
Absolutely. So I've been on a long road as far as learning about the human body and our responses to our environment, holistic health in general. I started out doing personal training and group fitness exercises and then moved on into massage therapy and then dietary nutrition before finding traditional Chinese medicine and just falling in love with the philosophy of it. You mentioned that I've done capoeira. Capoeira is an Afro-Brazilian martial art form, and that also feeds into just the knowledge that I've been able to acquire over the years in its similarities to the philosophies in the traditional Chinese medicine. There are so many parallels in it. My most recent studies were at AOMA Graduate School of Integrative Medicine in Austin, Texas. And that program, the doctoral program, was a specialty in pain and psychosocial phenomena related to pain. So basically the psychology and the intertwining of the body's physical aspects of pain and the mental aspects of pain and how those interrelate. Sometimes pain comes from mental anguish, and sometimes mental anguish is caused by ongoing or chronic pain. But in that program, there was a requirement to commit to a lifetime of learning, which was perfect for me because I've always been a person who does not appreciate not having the answer to something. So if someone asks me a question and I have to respond with, I don't know, I never want to find myself in the position to have to respond in that way again. So I will go out and seek that information. So while I do have knowledge specific to my areas of study, I am just an inquisitive person by nature. And so I'm often reading books, asking other experts questions, and just trying to find answers to many different questions.
I really appreciate all that you've shared, and I especially appreciate your being so inquisitive and always being willing and to learn and having demonstrated that in your career. And perhaps I didn't mention, Dr. Coleman is currently practicing in Denver, Colorado. So we're very pleased to have you available in the community, Dr. Coleman, as a healthcare practitioner for sure. And also with your skill in capoeira, because I know you do classes in that arena as well. So thank you again. Let's go ahead and get right into the subject this evening. We may want to start out with some definition or explanation around epigenetics and how that is connected to African history, particularly our history. So can you start us out with some information in that regard, please?
Sure. So epigenetics is a fairly new area of study. And I will give the disclaimer that I realize I'm not a geneticist, but I have done some reading and some studying on epigenetics within my school studies, and it's a phenomenal topic. I encourage anyone to read about it because as we walk around in these vessels that we were gifted, our bodies, to walk on this earth, I think it's really important to understand how the vessel works, how it functions, because you're living in it for a lifetime, right? For a human lifetime. So you should know what you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so epigenetics is connected to the study of genetics and how our genes carry on, how the DNA from one person passes into their child, or children, and then so on. And so epigenetics is impacted not just through heredity, but also by the environment. And it has to do with chemical processes that happen in the body. And our entire function is chemical response, right? And so it has to do with the chemical response and the influence of things from our environment, and also things that have impacted our ancestors, our parents and their parents. And so there are certain mechanisms within the body that either turn certain expressions from our genes on or turns them off. There were studies done around the Jewish people that were involved in the Holocaust and how they were impacted just from a very short time of captivity and limited resources as far as diet. They were fed mainly bread and water. And so one response to that activity was a huge episodic celiac or gluten intolerance in their genetic pool, possibly related to only having that in their diet. And so when you think about a short history of oppression like what the Jewish people experienced, and you then look at people of African descent in the United States enduring a much longer period of oppression, of being removed from our natural diets, of being removed from what would be our natural climates even. There are going to be strong shifts and changes in our genetic expression or how our DNA signals our cells to respond to where we are, to what we eat. And so we definitely see examples of that in the health research that is available that talks about, you know, that we hear all the time about how we are more susceptible to certain diseases. I don't believe that is by design. I don't think that, you know, we are just born to have certain diseases or disorders. It is definitely a response to what our ancestors have experienced and what we experienced through childhood and growing up. I hope that answers your question.
Wow, you said a mouthful. Yeah, that not only answers the question, but, you know, just I think I'm just probably repeating for the sake of confirmation, but I heard you mention the population of Jewish people who went through the Holocaust. Well, Holocaust lasted, what, maybe 10 years, I think, or a little more, and that there were, I'm using the term mutations, I don't know if that's correct, but there were genetic changes or mutations, okay, that's appropriate, that were passed on to their children, and does that mean grandchildren as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
Go
ahead.
Oh, I was just going to share, there was a study that I read in school that I was hoping to have come across before this call, but if I can, I will share it with you so that you can share with your audience later, that talked about the depression, which is even more recent and which was a shorter period of time. But there was a period of some level of famine in that people had less access to food. And the study was relating a surge in diabetes, especially among like poor whites descended from farmers, and that being a direct response to having less access to food. And so then their body, their pancreas, and their liver needing to adjust the way that insulin was used, you know, in the body to provide nutrients in the absence of receiving food, right? Because insulin is meant to help provide energy later, like it's stored energy that comes across later. And so the way that the body releases or chooses to release insulin is related to the amount of nutrients put into the body and the timing of that. And so the study was talking about going through a time of famine and how the next generation would then show signs related to diabetes because of that. So yes, that period for post-depression was short. The period for the Jewish people a little bit longer, but definitely the period of time that that Black people in this country have experienced worse situations would have a greater impact on our health.
Wow. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm just thinking in my mind, you know, 400 years of literally being traumatized, and also all those years of being exposed to a diet that was foreign to us, and in many instances, slaves being fed literally nothing more than cornmeal or grits and fatback. And so it sounds very reasonable to me that type of a change or a mutation could have taken place for sure. And did I understand you to say that the emotional trauma, as well as the dietary piece, both contribute to the mutation of the gene? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not so much a mutation of the DNA of the gene in itself. It's more the signaling that happens. So I talked about this on and off switch. So there are a bunch of proteins. There are messenger carriers within our cells. And so you can kind of think about so our genes themselves are like a hardware. Like if you think about a computer, right? The epigenetics piece of it is more like a software. It's the programming. It's what is expressed, what is shown, how the hardware is going to function.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that additional information. So it sounds to me that this trauma then, you know, changes the hardware or the software, okay? And then for generations after that, there's impact on an emotional basis, a physical basis, even a spiritual basis. Would that be accurate, or is that taking it too far?
No, I mean, these things are all connected because there's a symbiosis that happens between the vessel that we're in, this body, and the spirit that dwells within it. It's interconnected. And so if the body is impacted, then at some level the spirit is going to be impacted because of the time, the amount of time that we spend within these bodies.
And so we are impacted on all of those levels. And so for those of us here in the U.S., African-descended people, that trauma has definitely, sounds to me like it has definitely shown up, and that it has been passed on how many generations? I can't even. Pardon me?
Several. It's several generations.
Several.
Because when you think about it, so when we're born, especially as women, especially as the mothers, when we are born, we are already carrying.
Dr. Coleman, are you speaking right into the mic? Your voice is
am.
A little muted.
Okay. It just might be feedback because my
better.
Room does
Thank
have
you.
A bit of an
uh-huh.
echo. Okay. So when we're born, we already have women. I'm saying the women already have however many thousands of eggs carried in our womb, right? In our ovaries. We came from our mothers in that way. And so if you think about it, a grandmother is already having influence over her grandchildren before they're ever born, before her child is even born. Chemicals within that grandmother are going to impact the growth of the egg in her future grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that, it's not just the generation of the children that are born, it's that generation and the kids that they're carrying within them. Does that make sense?
I see.
I'm trying to say it as simply as I can.
That's a very clear picture, particularly when you put the piece in there about the female, and at the time that female child is born, that female child comes here equipped with the eggs. And those eggs have already been impacted by the trauma, the poor diet that has gone on previously. Dr. Coleman, I see that we have a question. We have a listener who has a question. So let's open the mic and take that question. Okay, 0369. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
So Good evening, ladies. Thanks for this conversation. My name is Cam Howard. I'm with the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Calling from Chicago, Chi-Town. Thank you. Glad to have you with us. And what is your question this evening?
I didn't have a question, just a comment. I don't know if you ladies had the opportunity to read a piece that I wrote in the Chicago Crusader called Transgenerational Epigenetics is the Cause of the High Rates of Deaths in Blacks from COVID-19.
I did see that article, and I have to admit that I read part of it. I haven't completed it yet, but I do know that it's out there.
So, yeah, so basically I'm in total agreement with the doctors on the line, and I'll try to sum up all of what she's saying and what we're saying around the transgeneration epigenetic injury piece as we don't wear the scars of enslavement on our backs as our ancestors did. We wear those scars in our genes today, and we're giving birth, as you stated, to future generations who will have the scars of enslavement, Jim Crow segregation, racial violence, police terror we're experiencing today. We will have those scars on our genes. They will have those scars on their genes. And so the challenge is for us to come together as, you know, Black people, whether they're fighting for reparations or not, but we need the type of research, a research center specifically developed, specifically designed to help us understand this issue and begin to put forth protocols on which we can neutralize, minimize, or even reverse the damages to our DNA from those crimes that were committed against our ancestors and are continue to be committed today. Thank you.
And thank you.
I
totally agree that having some healthcare centers specifically devoted to us would definitely be a good thing. Dr. Coleman, did you have a response to the comment?
It was an excellent comment, and I do agree. We do need that. We have to continually not only encourage but also find ways to support our people to get the necessary training, whether it's standardized stamp training or our own training, to be able to create and run those facilities. And then we have to build our own cultural economy so that those things are supported. You know very well, Sister Nanana, that, you know, I did try to do my very small part in creating an educational center that could be a seed to that work, and it was very difficult. There's so much work that has to go into it.
I definitely do recall that, and thank you so much for highlighting that having our own economy is a very focal or central part to this so that we can take care of our healthcare needs for sure. And I look forward to the day, Dr. Coleman, hopefully you will reopen your center because it certainly provided a much needed service in our community. So, all right, thank you. And we're going to move on to, we'll take one more comment or question and then take a music break here, just a second. Okay, caller 3176, 3176. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, Sister Nanana and Dr. Rhonda Coleman. This is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta, Georgia. My question
All
is,
right.
we're still in the midst of being traumatized. And if I'm understanding what you're saying, is that this trauma is imprinting itself into our DNA and being passed forward to future generations. So is there a way that we can inoculate ourselves? How do we, can we mitigate the damage that has already been done? And is there something we can do to stop it going forward into future generations?
That's a very good question. Thank you. Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead, doctor. Please.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's a very difficult one, you know, because we all live in one world. Without the idea of complete isolation, it's really difficult to not be impacted by the environment, that environment including people that would do us harm, systems that would do us harm, products would do us harm. And so the best option that we have is to be extremely careful about what we choose to engage in and what we choose to introduce into our bodies, into our health stream. So our eyes, our ears, and our physical body through nutrition, through interactions with groups, with company, with entertainment, all of those things impact our overall health. So things like doing cleansings, nutritional cleansings would be important. Doing mindfulness exercises to be really intentional about relieving stress that does not belong to us, not carrying burdens that are not ours to carry. And those things take discipline. They take discipline in our personal selves, but also discipline in the economy, as we already brought up, in supporting one another, in choosing how we educate our children and how we educate ourselves in doing the work to do those things. So there's so much work that has to be done. And because of the way that the trauma works, as you just as you summarized so well, it's already impacted us. And if you are a woman of childbearing age, it's already impacted your children who are unborn. And if you have children that have been born, it's already impacted their unborn children. So it can be done. It will take a lot of work. There probably needs to be a system written, some guidelines written so that future generations can begin to implement these ideas. But it would take a couple of generations at the very least from where we are now to be able to start seeing results to those kinds of changes. And I hope I answered your question.
All
yes,
right.
You
and
did.
It's
thank you.
Yeah. And it sounds to me, Dr. Coleman, that you're encouraging us to pay attention to not only what we put in our mouths, but to pay attention to what we expose ourselves to, because you mentioned entertainment, and I'm assuming that that means TV, radio, what we read, who we choose to be in relationship with, because all of that affects us emotionally and spiritually. Okay, so that's all part of a healthy lifestyle and a healthy diet. Okay, Brother Campisi, I am going to close your mic. Thank you. And we've got two more questions here, and then we'll take a music break, hopefully. Looks like we have a caller that's calling internationally. Okay, would you tell us your name and where you're calling from? Your last four, 2479, your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, greetings, family. This is Brother Madike calling from London, UK.
Oh, Brother Madike, wonderful to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm just appreciating the conversation. Greetings, Dr. Coleman. And if I had a question, that would be a simple one. Is there any link between genetically modified people and genetically modified food or substances?
Did you get the question, Dr. Coleman?
Genetically modified foods and then the epigenetic changes in people, is that the question?
Yeah.
Are there similarities between them?
Mm-hmm. Or is there a connection, I guess?
Yes. So the epigenetic changes, as I mentioned, are chemical responses. And our food, when we eat, that's all a chemistry process, right? The breakdown of the foods, how our body is able to use the foods. I've done a couple of talks where I talk about the spirit of foods. Everything on this earth, everything living, has a spirit to it, has an animating force to it that allows it to grow and to change, right? And when we eat that food, we can see certain responses in our body. We can see the physical, just in the same way that we can see a body, we can see the eyes, the hair. We cannot see our spirit form, but we know it's there. So then a tree must have some spirit element to it as well, because it is alive, but it can also be dead, right? The same with our foods. And so then the question that I do not have the answer to would be, what is the difference between a man-made food that does grow and appear to be alive, right? Does it have a spirit or not? And the other question would be, how do we interact with the foods that we eat on a spiritual level, that part that we cannot see? We know that there's impact to us when we see a tree, when we smell a flower, when we touch another human being. So as we ingest our foods, is there some kind of interaction between our spirit and the spirit energy from the food that we're eating? So that question, and then, like, what does that look like if it's a man-made food? So that's just something to think about. But as far as the epigenetics piece and the pieces that we can look at and research, there is a chemical response to ingesting foods. And so if in those genetically modified foods, there is some kind of man-made chemical, right, that is present, a scientist or someone else in a lab making those foods could create a protein or an enzyme that would have a certain interaction with our cell receptors in our body that could communicate a certain thing, that could, in fact, tell a certain cell in our body to either engage or not engage in a certain way. So if this food that is created has an element to it that would speak to a chemical receptor in our bodies and could have the potential to tell it to turn on or turn off, then yes, it could impact us at an epigenetic level. Does that make sense? I hope that was clear.
Powerful. Thank you for the answer. Powerful.
Thank you for the question, Brother Madike. Thank you for the question. And what I would add just for myself personally is, as far as genetically modified food, people have referred to it as Frankenfood. When you eat it, we really don't know all of the chemical responses that we're going to get from that food, because it's not natural, normal food. And there's speculation that some of the genetically modified foods have been modified specifically to have a certain response or to create a certain response in our bodies. It could be focused particularly on male or female. And so, yeah, genetically
and
modified foods overall is suspect, I think.
Yes, there are chemicals that are added to foods that will make you crave that particular food more. And so it creates a kind of stimulus and sometimes a dependency where you crave because you need to have that chemical again in your body. And so it leaves a wanting for it. And so if you've ever eaten something and you feel like, oh, my gosh, I always, like, if I have this smell, if I smell this thing, then I want that food in your brain. So a chemical that's been added to the food that tells your brain that you need more of it. But so that's not epigenetic. That's active, right? and to go further without taking up too much time, and I know you want to get to a break, but I often ask people to think about, too, that, you know, our bodies are all these chemical processes that are happening. The same thing happens with food. We just talked about genetically modified foods as far as, like, processed foods or vegetables or fruit, those kinds of things. But what about the animals? Animals also have chemical responses going on in their bodies. And when we think about the production of meat foods in this country, there are a lot of stressors added to these animals because of the way that they're confined, because of the way that they are slaughtered. And so the chemical responses happening in their bodies, the trauma that they're experiencing, is trapped within their tissues, which people then ingest. And then the chemicals that are trapped in those tissues then become a part of your chemistry.
So what I hear you saying is that whatever was going on with the chicken or mm-hmm. The cow or mm-hmm. the turkey or whatever it is before we before it's slaughtered and we eat it, whatever was going on with them, those messages are passed along chemically and then it
yeah.
becomes part of the message that's sent to our body when we eat
yes.
them. So, okay, yes. we are going to take a short break, and caller 7008, we will get to you right after the break. Please stay with us. This is an exciting subject this evening, so we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Headlining from Arrested Development, and I come here tonight to give thanks to the rain. So brothers and sisters, please put down your umbrellas. You won't be needing those today. Look to the clouds with the most rain coming from it. For without the rain, there's no me and there's no you. I said a drip drop, a drip drop, drip drop. Body viva, bum bum bum. Drip drop. Let it rain, let God's water feed me. The water of life, mentally rinsing me. Physically drenching me, most of frowning upon your arrival, but I need you for survival. And when you fall in my community, yeah, I run outside to properly greet you. Let it rain, take my pain, I'm glad to meet you. Fill my eyes with a colorful rainbow. Every drop that hits me fills me with unmeasurable amount of security. Knowing my God acknowledges me as if each drop of rain is aimed toward me. My Lord, thanks for life. My Lord, thanks for life.
Thank you,
yeah.
My rain.
It's rainy revolution. It's rainy solution. It's rainy revolution. 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 Struggle through the ghetto. The rain, the time I feel is mental. The goal of this rain I feel is spiritual. Saw through the eyes of the afflicted people. The eyes are hard as a million tombstones. Marked with the names of the millions of kin thrown to the dust that gave them their color skin. Fade to black is the scene they're embalmed in. The rain many nights have witnessed her. Receiving the sperm of a brother into a sister. And blessing that life to guarantee.
All right, we're back with you again, and this is Dare to Win, the Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperative regular Thursday night radio broadcast. We are here every Thursday starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the place where we have sober conversations around our need to build a global economic cooperative to serve the needs of people of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. And this evening, we are very pleased to have Dr. Rhonda Coleman with us, and we are discussing 400 years of trauma, epigenetics, and our current health challenges. Thank you once again, Dr. Rhonda, for being with us. And let's see, we had a question coming with our caller 7008. Caller 7008, would you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, the name is Deborah Rice Lamar, and I'm in Miramar near Miami, Florida.
All right. Thank you for being with us. And you have a comment or a question this evening.
Yes, kind of both. I've really enjoyed Dr. Coleman and agree with her 100%, and also Brother Cam. I am part of In Cobra and also work in healthcare. And my comment or question would be for reparations to include these kinds of studies that need to be done on a evidence-based basis, you know, for it to really get to the masses of people and be effective, have we approached looking at maybe some of the black universities or someone that actually has the research capabilities that have an interest that we can then look for funding for them to do the kind of research that the Jews financed and got done for them, which I think they used the University of Chicago, if someone knows if that was correct or not. But that we need some of the black universities that have research capabilities to step up to the plate, and we know they need funding. So that's both a comment, and if anybody knows of any work in that area that or anyone requesting them to do such, I would love to know about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your comment, and certainly that's well taken. That would definitely be the appropriate thing to do. That research is something that we need, you know, first of all, to assist ourselves in more fully understanding our position, but also to assist the position of reparations as well. I totally agree with that. So thank you once again for your comment.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree as well. I would say that if anyone listening has the type of influence necessary to speak to people in the position to make change, my starting point might be African ancestry because they are already doing one area of the work and so must have the facilities and the equipment necessary to expand on. It would be probably be a matter of, you know, speaking to them, getting funding in place, seeing the work that they've done already, and then expanding into areas that would be more related to gathering evidence to support the, I hate even saying it because it's clear that we've been impacted, but, you know, in the system that we live in, there requires paperwork and research and people to corroborate the research that comes out in order to have a case. But that would be my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I agree.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for your comment. All right. Well, you know, Dr. Coleman, let's move a little bit further and bring this a little bit closer to home with some discussion around COVID-19. Can you share with us how you see all of what we've talked about come to play in this current health crisis of the coronavirus, of the COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see those pieces fitting together?
Oh my gosh, there's so many levels. So you might have to keep pulling me back just because there's so many different pieces to the problem. So one huge piece has to do with trust and our mistrust in the people that lead our country or lead our government. The system that is in place is of course, justified. And that mistrust could be an expression of epigenetics. You know, 400 plus years of seeing the same people as our oppressors, as apparent, not real. I want to make clear that I'm not saying real, but apparent superiors because of the way that they are presented, because of the positions that they hold, you know, in contrast to our own in this country. There is mistrust, and that can be coming from within. Even if a child has never experienced racism outright, there is still a level of mistrust, I think, that would come as a result of an expression of the trauma that we've had from the people that are majority in power in this country. So trust is one factor. Not trusting the words, not trusting that this is a dangerous situation, not trusting that you should stay indoors, not, you know what I mean? That is impacting our health because so many of our people are like, this isn't real in the beginning at least, or this isn't impacting us. We're going to keep gathering. We're going to keep going outside. We're going to keep doing whatever. So trust is one issue.
Mm-hmm.
The next issue is diet. People that are that have a weakened immune state are more vulnerable. So they name some diseases, hypertension and diabetes, things like that. Those are all related to diet when it comes down to it. When you look at what the similarities are between a person that is hypertensive, a person that has diabetes, it comes down to nutrient deficiencies in the body. So not eating the proper diet does not supply means that your body is not supplied with the nutrients that it needs, the building blocks that it needs to create the chemical reactions for a highly functioning body. So, and not having enough water is a huge piece of that. So I often talk to my patients in office when I'm talking about their body and how it's functioning and why they're having the problems they're having. I use this analogy of cooking. If you want to make an awesome stew, your kids are hungry, and you start putting stuff in a pot and there's no water in it, how successful are you going to be in creating a stew, right? So water is extremely important for the chemical processes in our body. And then you have to have all the key ingredients to pull the nutrients from. So if you're living off of boxed mac and cheese meals with overcooked meats from some cow that's been shot up with a bunch of antibiotics and pinned up its whole life, and then you put some sticky, greasy cheese on top of that, you know, your body's not getting, and then you're drinking juice instead of water or soda instead of water, you're not giving your body any of the supplies that it needs to build a healthy cell, let alone a healthy immune system. So diet is a huge piece of it. Stress. Many people, at least that I know, are in jobs that cause them stress. They don't like the people that they work with, or they don't like the job that they're doing. They're not making enough money, so they're concerned about paying bills. They're concerned about their living situation. Then they've got relationship things on top of that. So stress on top of stress. Stress kills the immune system. Stress weakens the body. Stress means that you're not getting proper sleep, which rejuvenates the body and helps replenish cells. So those are three already, right? Trust, nutrition, with water being a huge factor, and then stress on top of that. Those are some of the reasons that we're more impacted. And so the resolution to those issues would be mindfulness practices, making sure that you are sitting within yourself to bring calm to the body, whether that means that you do yoga, that you sit and do breathing exercises, or you go to a church or mosque on a Sunday. It has to be something that you are committed to and that you're disciplined about, and it has to be successful in lowering your stress levels. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pause in case I've fully answered, or you want to move on to something else, because I don't want to go on and on.
No, you're doing great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your initial response to the question around trust, because that's a whole piece that from the perspective, I don't think we often think about that in terms of where we are seated emotionally and spiritually in relation to the environment around us and others around us. And you mentioned in particular those who are in charge of the government, those who make decisions that impact us, and the systems that we come in contact with. We have no trust in them, and there's plenty of history to support that non-trust, but we don't often think of the lack of trust as impacting us on an emotional or a spiritual level on a regular or consistent basis. And so I really appreciate you introducing that particular item, as well as the need in terms of the things that we can do to help ourselves to be healthier. You mentioned carving out the time so that we can be still and go within and have that quiet time and focus ourselves and give some attention to whatever our chosen spiritual paths are. And all of that is very valuable, I judge, because what you've shared with us this evening around epigenetics and the stark reality that our gene structure can be changed as a result of stress and trauma, and that more than likely we know for sure that it has been changed. And so these are ways to kind of put all of that within a context that makes a lot of sense. So do you have any final comments for us, Dr. Coleman? We're getting close to our time to wind down. Any thing that you would like to leave us with?
Just a thought. Sorry, one of my family members just walked in. You know, there are a lot of my work. Let me start here. A lot of my work, especially when I created my center, it was called the Healing Garden. And the idea was to educate our people around the benefits and uses of holistic health. But what led me to opening the center was just my ability to receive information that was not presented as something that we had cultural access to, but receiving that information and being able to recognize from my spirit, this is a part of my birthright. You're presenting, you know, I said I went to school for traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and all of that, but I feel like that's my birthright. I understand it's being presented to me as Chinese medicine, but my spirit tells me, and my upbringing was in Christianity, and one piece that I keep from it is that the spirit knows the truth, because the truth is written within us, so we recognize it when we are met with it, right? And so I feel like you're presenting this information and you're telling me it's from here, but my spirit knows that this is part of my birthright. I recognize it. And so part of the work that I was wanting to do was to be able to use that gift of getting information, but then translating it into something that was more culturally recognizable for us. That's important for me, right? And so I say all of that to say that a lot of times what I find, especially in our brothers and sisters that maybe are not as adjacent to university studies and, you know, that level of academia, they are unwilling to accept things or incorporate things into their lives that they don't feel a connection to. And so I feel like when we know better, it is our job to help express how, even though this thing has been dressed up and names changed and presented as something foreign, this is part of your birthright. Eating healthy is part of our birthright. Meditation and connecting to our spirit outside of a church building, just reflecting inwardly for ourselves, with ourselves, and by ourselves, is part of our birthright. Drinking water regularly is part of our birthright, not Kool-Aid, not soda, not a 40-ounce. Drinking water is part of our birthright. Stretching and exercising our bodies intentionally is part of our birthright. All these things that come across as, you know, I hate to say it, as white culture or as, you know, this luxury culture, those are things that have been taken away from us. You don't need to do that. Spun around, dressed up, and then presented again in a way that is so foreign that people don't want to touch it. Reclaim it, because that's what's going to save us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Ashe, thank you so much for being with us this evening, Dr. Coleman. It has certainly been a wonderful and a worthwhile discussion. Appreciate having you. And I'm inviting everyone to come back and be with us again next Thursday for another Dare to Win program. Thank you so much. Peace and love to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well.
All right, you can hang up. I'll call you back in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.